Welcome back to Considerations from the Capitol from the Deeper Dive Podcast. My name is Bill Winnell, as always joined by Father Larry Swink. Good morning, Father.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Today is Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. And Father, we'll reflect on today's Gospel from St. John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through his disbelief, you may have life in his name. Father.
All right, folks. Well, today, as you probably know, it's Divine Mercy Sunday. This has been instituted as a feast day by John Paul II. And some of it is tied to the private revelations of St. Faustina, but also this gospel is perfect for this particular feast day. And I think there is a necessary prelude to this particular explanation of Divine Mercy Sunday and the gospel. Is, and I steal this from Monsignor Pope. He says, there's an old saying that if you don't know the bad news, the good news is no news. And in today's gospel, we see Jesus walking through into a room where the 10 apostles are gathered in fear. They're broken, troubled, and disturbed men. And they're deep in sin, that they really are disbelieving in sinful ways. And I think, too, we can't miss this point, is that too many people today, where we proclaim mercy without repentance. And what I mean by that is this: mercy means that sin has very dire consequences to it for our eternal soul, and even in the future in purgatory. And it, even on earth, it has pretty serious ramifications that we, because of our stubbornness, we don't really appreciate the beauty and the power of God's mercy. So the point of mercy is not to go out and tell others how terrible they are, but rather to tell them about the forgiveness of sin and how powerful it is. But my point is it only makes sense if we realize the severity of sin, how beautiful the gift of mercy is. So let's just start there. And once again, we live in rebellious times where many people, if not most in our society, are dismissive of sin. So for all of us that believe in the Ten Commandments, that they're not suggestions, this feast day is powerful because we all fall short of the perfection of the commandments, for sure. And all right, so that's the first thing. So how do we celebrate this feast day? Well, if you go to like the Divine Mercy website, they always kind of break it down by the ABCs of mercy, and it actually fits nicely into today's readings. But the first part of Divine Mercy Sunday is this constant reminder is to remember to always ask for God's mercy. And Saint Faustina was told by Jesus the following. Remember, the good news is no news without the bad news, right? So he said, "Souls perish in spite of my bitter passion. I am giving them the last hope of salvation, that is the feast of my mercy. If they will not adore my mercy, they will perish for all eternity. Tell souls about this great mercy of mine, because the awful day, the day of justice, is near." Right? So mercy, what our Lord is saying is like, now while we are alive, this is the time to ask for mercy and to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And the message of mercy is that God loves us, all of us, no matter how great our sins have been in the past. God will indeed forgive them, but we simply have to get our knees and humbly say, Lord, have mercy. And we have to take advantage of his mercy. And what do we see in today's gospel? We see the clear institution of the sacrament of reconciliation. And I've heard numerous times people talk about, well, where's confession in the scripture? God didn't tell you to go to a man. Today's gospel would say the opposite. He walks into the room, breathes on these men and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Those sins you forgive are forgiven. Those sins you have retained are retained. He's giving them the power to absolve sins in his name. Now, true, only God forgives sins, but that power has been delegated to men, namely priests and bishops of the Catholic Church, to be able to absolve in the name of Christ, right? It is, and it's the normal way by which we are forgiven of our sins. And I think, too, is it might seem like, well, I got to tell someone my sins. Well, here's the deal. What's the alternative, right? And I think, too, we've got to get out of this mindset, which is very prevalent in the Catholic Church today. I go straight to God, okay? Now, I mean, take advantage of this powerful sacrament. And in this sacrament, you know, and even in the Divine Mercy message, you know, the Lord says to St. Faustina that I'm hidden by the priest. And so we have to ask for this mercy. And it doesn't matter how, what the sin is, but especially if it's something of a mortal sin. Now, let me just say a point about mortal sin, just, for folks. What is a mortal sin? Sometimes it's misunderstood. It is something that the church says is grave matter. You have been taught that it's grave matter, and you were not forced to do it. You freely chose to do it. You had full consent of the will. If the three conditions apply, that's a mortal sin. And the bad news is, if someone dies in with an unrepented mortal sin, they could lose their soul forever. So what would be an example of that? Someone who of right mind commits suicide, someone commits an abortion, someone misses Mass on Sunday, someone has relations outside of marriage, and I could go on and on, but there are a lot of stuff that people people can fall into, a lot. But that's the bad news. But the good news is God says, look, just come and ask for forgiveness. I was at the hospital a couple days ago and there to anoint someone who was they were not able to confess their sins, but I gave them the anointing of the sick regardless. And then a nurse asked me, do you speak Spanish? And I said, sort of. And they're like, well, can you hear a confession in Spanish? I said, sort of. But no, I do know enough to hear confessions. So anyway, long story short, there was a man that, of Hispanic descent and was asking for confession. And obviously, I can't talk about what transpired there, but beautiful thing is after this man who's dying of severe cancer, when I absolved him in English, because I don't know the absolution in Spanish, the tears came rolling down his face. And it was just very beautiful to me to see. And he thanked me, profoundly for just getting these sins off his soul. And it just showed like the peace that God gives to the reconciliation. And it was one of those really beautiful moments for me as a priest to see how much God loves us, all of us, in midst of our sinfulness and the peace that confession gives. Now, secondly, we have to be merciful, right? And so in the reading today, it says that in the Acts of the Apostles, there was no needy person among them. All right. Now, part of mercy is not just asking for mercy, but our Lord will tell St. Faustina in the diary that we also have to bestow mercy upon others. And he says, I am giving you three ways of exercising mercy toward your neighbor. The first by deed, the second by word, the third by prayer. And so Divine Mercy Sunday also means this, is that we're not just about, our own personal interests, when it comes to salvation and alleviating suffering, but we have to also realize that God wants us to bring mercy to others. And that can be through helping a guy on the street who's asking for money to get a meal, to correcting a sinner in our family or a friend that, you know, they're going down the wrong path, and we care for them so much that we will admonish them with love, right? One of the spiritual works of mercy, that's by word. And praying for people, praying for the souls in purgatory. These are all ways of being merciful to others. And once again, Jesus says, I am giving you three ways. He says, first by deed, the second by word, the third by prayer. And he says, in these degrees is contained the fullness of mercy. And it is an unquestionable proof of love for me. By this means, a soul glorifies and pays reverence to my mercy. Right? So interesting, be merciful. And lastly, is to be confident in God's providence. Now, I would say more than likely, this could be the hardest of the three. And, you know, the Lord, the way to, I would say, ultimately salvation, but also to peace in our heart, right? Because our Lord says in the gospel, my peace I give you, is surrendering to God's providence and realizing that God actually knows what he's doing in our lives, and that he's got a beautiful plan, and that he even can use the bad things in our life, like our sins, our mistakes, our sufferings, physical ailments, anything. He can use this ultimately to bring glory if we turn to him with trust, right? So confidence in God's power, in God's mercy, in God's omnipotence, right? His being omniscient, all-knowing. This can really bring a lot of peace. But I think because we're human and we just don't, we panic, we're anxious like these apostles, and we're like Thomas. And, you know, remember Thomas, that the first time Jesus appeared, he was at the supermarket getting groceries, and he comes back with a bunch of bags. I'm making this part up, but he comes back and he's like, what do you mean? You saw Jesus? And then he says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And then obviously our Lord appears, you know, when Thomas is around, and he asks him the question, you know, Thomas, you know, put your hand in my side. And why did you not believe? And why did you not trust, ultimately, is the question he asks us. And our Lord said in this diary, he says, when a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. And it's one of those diary number 1074, if you want to look it up. And he basically says, when you put ultimate trust in me, not only do you experience peace, right? And I think too, this is something we have to pray on. Like, hey, no matter what we're going through, God has a plan. He says you will experience incredible graces that will help you, but also all around you, right? You'll be a witness of my mercy to others. So there we have it, folks. The ABCs of mercy. Ask for it, be merciful, and most importantly, be confident. If people say Jesus is risen from the dead, say, yep, that's true. I believe that. If someone tells you, hey, it's going to be okay, say, yeah, that's true. Why? Because Jesus has risen from the dead. Happy feast day.